Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, etc. November 2nd through the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Who thinks they're entitled to sex? Well, the rapist thinks he's entitled to sex. And that's the straight line that I draw from the ideology of the sexual revolution to Harvey Weinstein.
When the pastor, in whose house I lived, called Hitler from the pulpit the Redeemer, the organist said to me, whispered into my ear, "He's lying, he's lying, he's betraying our Lord."
I can tell you that I am absolutely committed. In fact, I would rather die than give up the Book of Concord, because the Book of Concord confesses the truths of Holy Scripture.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues, Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
Is it just the way we've been taught by society, by religion, by philosophy to think about ourselves? I think of myself as a man. I always have. Well, I guess before I thought of myself as a man, I thought of myself as a boy. Never once have I thought of myself as a girl or anything other than just a male. But is that the product of the conditioning of my religion, Christianity, or my society, America, or my culture? Well, I don't even know what to call that. Am I conditioned to think that way about myself and everyone else around me? And should I rethink it, as so many people are suggesting I do, that this is merely a social, it's a psychological construct, and it has no basis in reality? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live this Friday afternoon, November the 3rd, from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about biblical femininity and masculinity here in the first hour of the program. Rebecca Curtis and Pastor Jeff Hemmer will be our guests. Then in hour two of Issues, Etc., the enduring nature of the Reformation, Pastor Paul McCain, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, will be alongside for that conversation. Feel free to give us a call, or send us an email, rather, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about biblical femininity and masculinity, Rebecca Curtis, a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, and she's co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically. Rebecca, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
And Pastor Jeff Hemmer, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, married father of five kids and author of the book, Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to be here.
The same question for both of you, Rebecca Curtis, first, because I'm an old-fashioned guy, and they say ladies first. But in that very notion is the idea that there's a difference between you and Jeff sitting next to you that is based in reality. How do you respond to those who say that this binary of male and female is nothing but a social construct, it has no basis in reality, and we're better off seeing this as maybe at the most two poles on a long spectrum of genders and the way we self-identify?
I don't know that my initial response would be satisfactory to the kind of person who asked that kind of question, because my response to it is a Christian one, and that is that our Lord teaches us at the very beginning that male and female are real. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Our Lord teaches us this without reference to the type of chromosomes you have, or how your body is made, or what your body does. He teaches us this because it is the world he made for us. And that is where Christians have to begin our answer to that question, not by diving into science. Science has to be the handmaiden to the reality that our Lord hands us in creation.
Same question for you, Jeff. This binary notion of male and female is just a social construct.
Well, it's a social construct that we've employed for lots of other parts of our society too, right? Our plumbing, right? Pipe fittings are binary. Our electrical outlets are binary. It's such a reality encoded into who we are that your pipe fitting is either male or female. That's the argument against same-sex marriage, right? That you can't plumb your house with only same-sex unions, right? You can't plug in your vacuum cleaner with only, you know, with two male plugs, right? You need a female outlet as well. And the same holds true biologically. So Rebecca took the biblical argument, but the biological argument is that the binary male-female union is the only union that produces the next generation. So, right, it's the kind of insanity that will breed itself out in one generation if we give into it. The same is true of same-sex false marriage, right? There's a biological impossibility. Two men cannot bear a child. So if you don't believe any of the Genesis stuff, right, there's no evolutionary advantage to a same-sex union. There's no evolutionary advantage to non-binary genders. That's not a trait that you can pass on. The only way you can pass on those traits biologically is with this binary male-female union that God established in the garden and that still holds true today in such a way that it pervades the way we speak about everything else.
So, Rebecca, give us a simple definition of biblical femininity.
Oh, I can't promise to be simple. I'll do my best. Certainly in Scripture we see explicit instruction for how men and women are to live and to relate to each other. Back in Genesis again, we have the man and the woman together, and their command is to be fruitful and multiply. And as Pastor Hemmer was just saying, there is a mechanism for that with certain requirements biologically and in other ways as well. In the New Testament, in the household codes, we have instructions for how husbands and wives are to relate to each other, instructions even for older women and for wives and for widows, and all of those are helpful prescriptions. But I think that in all things, the best way to teach is by example, and certainly throughout Scripture, we see women teaching, maybe inadvertently, by their examples, by how they live, and how that plays out in the life of the people of God and in God's work in history. You have women living according to God's design for things, and as a result, being the great-grandmothers of our Lord Jesus. We see other women usurping and rebelling and doing great damage to the people of God. And Scripture teaches us in so many ways what femininity looks like for the people of God. And of course, that informs how men live as well.
So a biblical definition of masculinity, Pastor Hemmer?
Jesus is the perfect man. And so he then embodies perfect masculinity. In Ephesians 5, when Paul treats the distinction between the roles of wives and the roles of husbands, Christ is held up as the example for what it means for husbands to love their wives. And he does so perfectly sacrificially. This is what Adam is given in the garden and what he fails to do when he's standing by as Eve eats in rebellion against God's commandment, his prohibition. And Eve rebels and Adam is standing right there such that she can hand the fruit right to him. So Adam indulges in this moment of selfishness, treating his bride as a guinea pig in this experiment to see whether God's word is true or not. Will we really die at the moment that we eat of it? And so you get in Adam sort of the photographic negative of real masculinity when Adam is selfish. This is what St. Paul calls a sin in 1 Corinthians 6 that excludes one from the kingdom of God, effeminacy. And it's a word that means, it's not like a softness of person, it's a softness of character when someone is more concerned about protecting himself than about seeing himself as an instrument for the good of others. Christ, on the other hand, gets that correct, where he sees himself as an instrument for the good of others, and the cross, where Christ spends every ounce of his strength, every drop of his blood, for the good of his bride, the church, for those all of whom right? The whole world for whom he's obtaining forgiveness of sins by means of his sacrifice, that is the perfect picture of masculinity. It's selflessness and it's sacrifice.
So why the confusion, Rebecca? Why so suddenly upon us has come this not just mass confusion, but now mass insanity, where multinational companies, without a bit of resistance, decided, yes, there are 57 varieties of human beings and 57 different genders, and we're going to enforce that in our companies. Politicians, churches. It came like a tidal wave, suddenly it seems, out of nowhere. Why so much confusion?
And the world, the flesh, and the devil have done really well lately in convincing everyone to live their lives as lies and to believe that. And I think, now I can't say this is the root cause of the problem, but I think one thing we could all do to help is stop using the word gender. I think people got away from saying sex because they thought it was a dirty word, and they wanted a nicer way to refer to the fact that some people are ladies and some people are men. So let's use gender instead. It seems kind of nicer and less yucky and doesn't carry other definitions with it that we maybe feel a little nervous around. There was actually a really interesting profile of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in The New Yorker a number of years ago, and it talked about how she made an active effort to eliminate the word sex from usage in the court and court documents and whatnot, because she said, all these men, when they see the word sex on a page, they think one thing, let's say gender instead. And I think that's been very detrimental to people's understanding, because what does gender mean anyway? Sex is a very clear word. It's male or female. It's a biological word. Gender has never been as well defined. It's kind of this cultural, social concept, and that allows for this ambiguity that has then worked its way backwards through that sloppy usage and basic misunderstanding of what simple words mean.
We're talking with Rebecca Curtis, co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer, author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity, about biblical femininity and masculinity, broadcasting live from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis during their warehouse sale that runs through Monday. You can join us. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382. Stay tuned. That's what I do, my baby said. Moment of liberation, it's going to your head. Get your biscuits in the oven and your buns in the bed. How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Orphan Grain Train is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During November, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Orphan Grain Train. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Good for you. Good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon talking about biblical femininity and masculinity from Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis. We're talking about that subject with Rebecca Curtis, co-author of the book Ladylike, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer, author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. Before the break, Jeff, I asked Rebecca about how we came to this state of utter confusion so quickly. What are your thoughts on that?
Don't you think it just perfectly encapsulates the selfish nature of our culture? I mean, not just with regard to how we perceive sex and no longer seeing sex as binary male and female, but in everything, we're just completely given over to self-indulgence, which shouldn't surprise us, right? I mean, Luther describes sin as being curved in on oneself. That's the root of all sin. The first and most important commandment, you shall have no other gods, is the most impossible to keep because we put ourselves in the place of God. So on one hand, I don't think there's really anything new. We've been selfish since the fall in Genesis 3. We're just eager to try out new ways to be curved in on ourselves. And so in this rejection of binary sex of men and women, you have this rebellion even against this biological reality, right? So it's the same as in the garden, right? You're not the boss of me. Adam and Eve intend to say to God. Now we say to biology and common sense and logic, you are not the boss of me, and I can be whatever, you know, 31 flavors of Baskin-Robbins gender I decide to be morning by morning. And it's fluid. It's not a fixed thing either. You can be one thing one day and another thing the next day. Try them all.
Okay, Rebecca, I think when we hear someone talk about biblical femininity, everybody's hackles immediately just rise a little bit because they think, I know what you're advocating for.
Oh, I would say they rise a lot.
You're advocating for the typical barefoot in the kitchen and constantly pregnant. Women shouldn't be working outside the home. You're advocating for this, the worst of all things, this notion of submission, that there's actually an order between male and female. What would your response to that, those fears, be?
I think that just shows who's been the victor, who has written our history. The people who originally started saying that those things were bad and needed to be avoided and were oppressive and demeaning and every terrible thing there was, those were the feminists. These ideas are not new. There have always been mostly women, but some men wishing to ingratiate themselves to that kind of woman. There have always been women saying those things, and you know, other forces of history finally allowed them to try out the experiment. And so now that's what we have. And now even very devout Christian women do believe that a life given primarily to the service of one's family in a real way, not just earning enough money to pay other people to do it, is something that that no one should want. And that's sad. It's so prideful and truly self-indulgent, like Pastor Hemmer was saying, to believe that serving the people whom God has given you, your closest neighbors, the people you you genuinely love, even at the times when it's difficult, that their service is beneath you. If we are believing that caring for your own spouse and your own children in a very personal way, in ways that are difficult and dirty and unnoticed and unpraised by the greater world, if we believe that is undesirable, then we are thinking in a prideful and unchristian way.
You seem to indicate there that all of us have drunk from this poison well to one degree or another, and that there may be unexamined presuppositions that we have about the very basic things in life that we need to sit down and examine and say, okay, I say I'm not a feminist, but what of its ideas have I actually accepted as just basic reality? Are you talking about that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, even though at the place where we are in our church, I think is a place that is extraordinary and welcoming and appreciating the work that caretakers of all kinds do, and that includes women who are home with either children or a sick family member, an elderly family member, whoever needs their care. Doing that in place of going out into the world and drawing a paycheck. At the same time, anyone who's in that position of being a family's caretaker for anyone in the family who needs that care, or also for that matter for a friend, for a neighbor, for a brother or sister in Christ, I think we all know that there are times when other people are praised because they have it all. Because she has four kids and she's a investment banker. She's done all these things. She's managed to get all those things on her resume, both her public professional resume and her personal life resume. And that can be hard for a caretaker to hear, to know that that is a level of praise that I'm not going to receive. And again, this is where pride is going to challenge the gifts that the Lord gives and the things that he esteems. Of course, the esteem of men is never something we're supposed to pursue. But given the world the way it is, it can be very difficult to be the person who's alone, not going out in the world, not receiving the appreciation of a broader audience, and knowing that maybe I could have had that, maybe I could have done that, maybe I have it in me. Maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm a free rider for our family. Maybe I'm just avoiding this more difficult route. So it's a confusing thing to work out in the life of any family, I think.
You spoke earlier, Pastor Hemmer, about a effeminate man, and you said it's not a softness of the person, but a softness of character. What are men told by the broader society today that they ought to be?
So you have two extremes that men are trying to navigate between. On the one extreme, he's fed this lie by a feminist culture that men and women are the same. There's no distinction between the roles that men have been given. Anything a man can do, a woman can do. And this gives man the freedom to indulge his selfish, sinful flesh and check out. If the world requires nothing of him, does not ask a kind of masculine sacrifice from him, then he's free to play video games in his mom's basement until he's 35 years old, not looking for a wife, not trying to start a family, not seeing himself in society as an instrument for the good of others that God has placed in relationship with him, those in his various spheres, right, in his various callings that God has given him. He doesn't have to serve them, right? Because anyone can do that. He's not unique because he's a man. So on the one hand, the feminist society tells man that it's okay to be selfish, right? Men and women are the same. We don't need you to be a man. We don't need your sacrifice. You can do whatever you want, right? And then on the other hand, you get from men sort of the sense that this just is wrong, and men and women are distinctly different. And so you see in culture sort of this hyper-masculine pushback against the feminism of society, but it's still just disordered selfishness parading as genuine masculinity. And so here, you know, men are, it's this contest of muscles or guns or tools, you know, who's the best man by his physique or by the size of his truck or whatever. And so we find our value as men, our roles as men, purely in these external kinds of things. And that's just more selfishness, right? And in between both of those two extremes, the effeminate, selfish man and the hyper-masculine, nevertheless effeminate because he's selfish man, in between those two extremes you find Christ, the perfect man, who's not soft, he's not nice, he's perfectly good, but in his interaction with people, he's not what we want, you know, the typical nice guy to be. But he's also not this hyper-masculine distortion of what it means to be a man. And he's neither of those because he is perfectly a sacrifice for the good of the world.
So I hear a common denominator in both of these things, even though we're talking about two very different things, male and female. But the common denominator I hear is that the key to this thing in terms of Scripture is selflessness. What are your thoughts there, Rebecca?
Absolutely. You can never, there's no such thing as just men or just women. There's only male and female. He created them so that they could live together and help each other and cooperate. And marriage is the place where it's easiest to think about this, because there you have a man and a woman bound to each other with similar tasks, with similar goals, because of their likely status as father and mother as well, and just maintaining their own relationship. The whole point of being a husband or being a wife is to pick up the slack for the other one. And in every relationship, that's going to look a little different, of course, but we're silly to imagine that there's no such thing as some normal patterns that tend to play out. There's a reason for that. It's the way that each of us is made in the service of the other.
Rebecca Curtis is our guest, a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary and co-author of the book, Ladylike, Living Biblically, along with Pastor Jeff Hemmer, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, married father of five children and author of the book, Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. We're broadcasting live from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis during their fall warehouse sale. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382. We're talking about biblical femininity and masculinity.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scher, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hi, I'm Pastor Palmer from Catalina Lutheran Church in sunny Tucson, Arizona. We're a confessional, liturgical, hymn-singing, Bible-teaching, gospel-preaching congregation, and we would love to share God's good gifts of word and sacrament with you. Look us up online at catalinalutheran.org or give us a call at 520-825-9255. God be with you.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
As Christians, we need to be clear about the world's depraved dicta on human sexuality. It's good to be clear about what we're against, But there's more to the story. There has to be.
Dr. Scott Murray talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The God-given gift of holy marriage with all of its blessings and benefits must be encouraged and extolled among us. God's gift of marriage teaches that sex is not for us, but for the other, and for the other alone. Exclusive heterosexual monogamy is God's way. It's the best way. Especially for our own children and grandchildren, Christians have to build the case for God's gift of marriage.
You can meet and hear Dr. Scott Murray, Making the Case for Christian Marriage, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
But I got a wife with a frying pan, and when she talks, I'll listen. I'm the king of the road, she's the queen of the house, and it may not be a palace.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're broadcasting from Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis for their fall warehouse sale, talking about biblical femininity and masculinity with Rebecca Curtis, author of Ladylike Living Biblically, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer, author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. I had heard a sermon preached at a wedding a couple months ago by Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And the essence of the sermon, at least in kind of its teaching portion, which a good wedding sermon ought to do, he said, Christian marriage is a daily and constant no to yourself. Is that what you're talking about, Jeff, when you say that manhood is self-sacrifice?
Absolutely. The converse to saying no to yourself is saying yes to those that God has put in your life, right? Your spouse, your children, those whom he has given you most intimately to serve, those kinds of callings that are irrevocable, that never change throughout a man's life, that to abdicate one of these callings is to do so through sin. And so that's exactly what it means for a man to see himself not for the good of himself, but for the good of his bride, for the good of his children, right? That is a saying no to myself, a denial of my own selfish desires, my own, you know, self-fulfillment. We really live in a society that is just absorbed with this cult of the self, that, you know, you need self-fulfillment, you need self-esteem. And all of this, right, that's, I presume, exactly what Dr. Bierman intended to say in his sermon, that you are denying yourself when you are pledging yourself to another person in marriage. A man to his wife makes these vows to her that he will always be saying no to himself. And we talking about the Reformation this week, in the lead-up to the Reformation, there's this exalted ideal of monasticism, right? If you want to really do God's work in the world, you'll leave your family, you'll leave your job, your occupation, and you'll take these monastic vows. And I think today we have kind of a new monasticism, a secular kind of monasticism, that if you really want to make something of your life, then you're going to say goodbye to your family, kiss them all as you walk out the door each morning, and you're gonna go do the noble thing. You're gonna, you know, earn that paycheck and then bring it back at the end of the day. And that ignores, right? That's a secondary or a tertiary kind of calling to go be a you know, make widgets on the factory line. And that's not a calling that is permanent. Whereas the calling to be a husband and a father is a permanent kind of calling. So we need to rethink the order of these things. We need to and this is the same reflecting on what Rebecca was saying earlier about, you know, women have been sold this bill of goods, thinking that, you know, the highest, noblest thing you can do in your life is go get this career. And men have been sold the same kind of thing too, right? Don't start a family until you've really established yourself in the world. And that's exactly saying yes to oneself, right? Making a name for myself, filling up my 401k for myself, whatever it is, before I look to myself to, you know, and then we'll start a family. Then we'll do sort of the secondary thing. And we've just turned it all upside down.
Rebecca, talk about how our Creator has a way of forcing us to deal with the reality of these things. I think it was Pastor Hans Feeney who said children are the best tool God uses to smash our idols, our money, our time. They'll take it all away from you and then even demand more. So talk about how it is that going from being daughter to wife and mother shapes a biblical woman.
Yeah, I completely agree with Pastor Feeney there. If you think you are too attached to the things of this world, I encourage you to bring a few children into your house and see what happens to all of your possessions and income. They don't get along well. I've been really interested to follow the Me Too trend in the past few weeks since a very large scandal broke out with rich and important people in Hollywood, you know, the people who really matter in this world. Since Harvey Weinstein got ratted out by all these women he'd treated horribly, and a lot of women took this as an occasion to speak up about their own experiences and in terms of facing harassment and worse from the men with whom they work or otherwise have contact. For one thing, I thought this was very vindicating for Mike Pence, who was vilified so recently for having an agreement with his wife that he would not go out to dinner with another woman alone. Everyone in the media just trashed him for this and said that he was, first of all, being ridiculous, and second, that he was limiting women's opportunities because apparently this is how one advances one's career, is by going out to dinner with men you're not married to. But then you had, these were the stories women were telling. I went out to dinner with this guy and he said all these inappropriate things and made me feel horrible and humiliated me, and I had no recourse, and I even went to human resources and we still had to work together. There was nothing I could do about it. And in our power-based relationship, he's the one who has the power, and I can't do anything about it. And if I want to keep my job or advance, I have to put up with these things. And me too, this has happened to me. I want to tell all these women, this is what the patriarchy was trying to protect you from. They wanted to make sure something like that never happened to you. They wanted you never to be alone with a man who was willing to do that, who would hurt you in that way, even simply with his words. We have all these women testifying now that just the words are hurtful and leave one in a really uncomfortable situation. And now we have, this is a very common form of interaction between men and women who have no natural love for each other. This is how women think that they have to function in the world because their careers are so important. And so they're thrust into these situations with guys who are in positions of authority and power and can pull the strings that they want pulled. And now all we can do is go and boohoo about it online. I'm not advocating a return to some time when men and women did not interact with each other in this way, but I wouldn't rule it out as a terrible idea. And I think that we have to deal with the fact that the way we have changed the world has had consequences, and maybe it enables us to see a little bit why things used to be ordered in a different way. And mothers and fathers are the primary people who are able to see that. You look at your daughter and you think, I do not want that ever to happen to her. I don't want her ever to be the girl in that room, the girl at that table, the girl in that office who is stuck with a guy she can't get rid of because she's got to have this job, and she has to listen to the disgusting things he has to say to her every day. No mother wants that. No father wants that. That's why I think it's so sad that patriarchy has become a bad word. God is our father. No one understands the importance of fathers better than Christians, we who have God as our father, he who spared not his own son for our sake so that we could be adopted into his family. So I'm not sure how that speech started, but I guess that's the end.
It's a shame these microphones are attached to the headphones, because I think Rebecca just dropped it.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Talk about going from son to husband to father, and how just those decisions in life that are made is it one of the mechanisms by which God shapes biblical masculinity?
Well, in the garden, God declares that it's not good for man to be alone. And so there's a sense in which a man, a boy, is not completely alone when he's still, you know, under the authority of his parents. And he remains a son of his parents his whole life long. But it's easy for him to think, right, mom and dad cater to my needs. They do what I need them to do. And this is why he leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, and the two become one flesh. He leaves their care, and from that moment, everything changes. Now, the care of a family depends upon him. He's the one called to protect his new bride, to provide for her, and in this one flesh union, to procreate, to get as close to the work of the Creator in the garden, who creates out of nothing, but to create out of nearly nothing, two, you know, microscopic gametes, and then children, the third, right? So he moves from a boy to a man to a father, and Pastor Feeney is exactly correct. Children will destroy all of a man's idols, and yet they will transform him, right? I mean, why are like superhero stories and comic books and all these kinds of things so popular with young boys? They want to grow up to be a hero, right? They want to grow up to save the world. They want to grow up to have this tribe that loves them and that is devoted to them. Well, where in the world does that happen more clearly and more perfectly than in a man's children? And so when he moves from just protecting and providing for his wife, when God grants him the gift of children, now he does all of these things for his children as well. And suddenly, right, his latent desires to be a superhero are fulfilled when God gives him children. He now has someone, right, for whom he puts on his spandex and his cape, and sees himself day by day as an instrument for their good and for their protection. And he lives his life no longer for his good, but purely for their good.
We're talking about biblical femininity and masculinity with Rebecca Curtis and Pastor Jeff Hemmer. I'm sure that the subjects of femininity and masculinity will be addressed at next week's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. Dr. Scott Murray is going to be teaching on Christian marriage, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be teaching on the sexual revolution. Dr. Rod Dreher is talking about the Benedict option, and they'll be joined by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, and Dr. Lawrence White and Ted Giese. Attendance is limited to 400. You can find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and 11th in Houston. When we come back, Pastor Hemmer had said something at the beginning of our conversation about how our culture's view of male and female, if left to its own devices, will breed itself out in one generation. I certainly hope so, but it doesn't seem to be stopping. We'll talk about that after this.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
And she'll promise you more than the Garden of Eden. And she'll carelessly cut you and laugh while you're bleeding. But she'll bring out the best and the worst you can be. Blame it all on yourself, 'cause she's always a woman to me.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about biblical femininity and masculinity. That takes me back to seventh grade. I can't remember the girl's name, but that was the girl Billy Joel was singing about when I was in seventh grade. The bump music today is from Rebecca Curtis, so thanks to her for tracking that down for us. She does that, by the way, behind the scenes and unthanked, except by Jeff Shores, a lot for us. So when you hear that stuff and you enjoy it, you can give Rebecca Curtis the credit for it. She's co-author of the book Ladylike Living Biblically, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer is author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. You can find out about both of these books at our website. We'll have a link on the Listen on Demand page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. They'd be happy to set you up with both of those books. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Okay, you had mentioned something, Rebecca, about this being thankless, and I'm going to use the words thankless and unnoticed, and we have to put asterisk next to both of those things, because people do notice, your kids do notice. If they don't notice now, they'll notice later about the kind of things that are done, at least in the world's eyes, without a lot of fanfare. That, to me, is a greater reward than anything the world could ever give us. Do you agree?
Absolutely. The desire for worldly attention or acclamation is misplaced. And everybody knows that when mom is sick for one day, suddenly everyone really, really, really appreciates what she normally does just on a normal day. And I think it is one of the lies that Christians have to be able to see their way out of, this desire for being noticed and for being thanked and for getting your props and your compliments. To be able to serve one's family is the highest gift. And to wish for someone else to notice it is just silly. Why should that person notice it? Certainly, society would be a lot better off if more people did a better job of taking care of their families. But ideally, it's the kind of thing that everyone would just do because it makes sense. And there is, at the end of the day, gratification there and appreciation and love and thanks. And so the Christian always needs to orient herself or himself to see that God gives his gifts as he has promised, and that if we're grubbing for attention from some other quarters, then we're looking in the wrong places, that we need to be always looking on his face and into the faces of the people he's given us to love.
Pastor Hemmer, we talked earlier about the rapidity of how the mass delusion has fallen upon our society, and I've often wondered, just in my private thoughts, whether or not this is exactly what the book of Revelation talks about when it says that the devil comes down to the earth with great vengeance, because he knows his time is short. He knows the clock is ticking, and if he's going to rob us of Christ and of all the benefits of creation, like we were talking about before, he better get busy. You said this will breed itself out in one generation if it's left to itself, but a lot of people look at the changes that have come into our way of thinking and they say, never before in our society have men been willing to fly in the face of not only God, but just common sense.
Well, right. I said it'll breed itself out within a generation. I mean, that's if everyone doesn't identify as a male or a female, everyone is somewhere else on that spectrum, right? Then it will breed itself out within one generation. If every marriage is a same-sex marriage, then there will be no subsequent generations, right? Except for those children that we create in glass. Our insanity will come to an end, and it will come to an it will probably coincide with the conclusion of our society as well. And our American experiment is so young in the history of the world. And if you look at, you know, all the great world superpowers throughout history, you know, that all had their hubris and said, our society, our Greek society will never come to an end. Our Roman society will never come to an end. The Holy Roman Empire will never end. America will endure forever, right? We just need to make it great again. And it's vanity. Every society lives and dies, and this, you know, that's what you have Rod Dreher coming to talk at the conference. Tony Esselin, who's a regular guest on Issues Etc. as well, has a similar book, Out of the Ashes, and they both predict that we are on the precipice of the demise of Western civilization. And this kind of insanity is the reason for our culture's precipitous decline. Whenever it happens, however it happens, it will be quick. And the church is the only empire in the world. The Lord's kingdom of the church is the only one that has weathered the rise and fall of all these other man-made kingdoms, little flashes in the pan, and the church will endure, regardless of, you know, what kind of government we have, regardless of what levels of freedoms we have. The church, because Christ has promised, will endure. The gates of hell cannot prevail against her. And in Revelation, that's why the devil chooses to make war on individual Christians, because he can't gain any ground against Christ, and he can do nothing against the Lord's church. So it's only the individual Christian who can be susceptible to his attack.
Rebecca, what are you teaching your daughters and sons about biblical masculinity and femininity? We've got about 1 minute.
Well, I recently read something, and I said this earlier in the broadcast today, that the best way to teach is by example. And I think we can all probably remember some kind of weird or maybe awkward or maybe even embarrassing conversations with our parents about what it means to be a boy or what it means to be a girl. And of course, I think particularly in Generation X, we're very concerned about coming on too strong or too dogmatic or in ways that our kids are eventually going to say, that really convinced me to think the opposite of what my parents taught me. But the example that we live is what teaches more, at least as much, if not more, as all those official talks and planned sit-downs. And I hope that what my husband and I are able to teach our children is that man and wife love each other, take care of each other, and take care of their kids.
Jeff, same question for you with 30 seconds.
I completely agree. It's all a matter of teaching by example. And so the best thing that a man can do for his children is to love their mother. And that's a man's first calling when God gives that to him. So I want my children to learn by example, and I want the first and foremost example that they learn from me is that of repentance. Not to see themselves as perfect, not to see their father as perfect, but to see him as one, when he errs, knows where to find forgiveness in his error, and that's in the perfect sacrifice, the perfect masculinity of Jesus.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is author of the book Man Up, The Quest for Masculinity. Jeff, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
And Rebecca Curtis is co-author of the book Ladylike Living Biblically. Rebecca, thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
Folks, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs in November, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for qualifying amounts of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give the same amount of money to Orphan Grain Train. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, good for you, good for the church, LutheranFCU.org. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be talking about the enduring nature of the Reformation. It's not only about Martin Luther, but we will be telling a little bit of Luther's story. Pastor Paul McCain, publisher and executive director of editorial for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis and general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes, live from Concordia Publishing House at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. during their fall warehouse sale, which continues through Monday, the 6th of November.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.